Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you and spend some time with you. Happy Labor Day, everybody. I'm glad you're here. I hope you're having a great Labor Day. I hope you have a safe one today. Bert Folsom is our guest, and he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a great resource for us. He's the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Show and has been now for a long time. We couldn't do without him, and he joins us on a regular basis to make sure that we keep our current situations in perspective by bringing a little history to the program. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, folks, Dr. Bert Folsom is a professor of history at Hillsdale College in Michigan, and he's the author of Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders, and a brand new book coming out, Bert, pretty soon on FDR, right?
That's right, Jim. The book will be called New Deal or Raw Deal, and Simon & Schuster is the publisher. It should be out in early November.
Well, we're looking forward to that. You tell them I expect you to launch that book on the show.
Well, that's great. You can pre-order it on Amazon.com, and I'd be delighted to launch it on your show, Jim.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I expect that. I expect an early copy, too, by the way. Autograph, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, you will have one.
Hey, Bert, one of the things that you'll find interesting, that talk about an interesting coincidence, on this day in 1859, the very first Pullman car rolled off the line.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Well, your background in Chicago and all that, you must be excited.
Well, I am excited, but also, Bert, as you know, the connection there is that one of the main reasons for having an official federal holiday was the Pullman strike about 20 years later.
Yes, and that was a fantastic event in history, and Grover Cleveland was involved with it, and the famous socialist Eugene V. Debs.
Right. Yep. And of course, they had this strike because the strike really was because of the low car sales, the drop off in car sales,
yes.
Pullman car sales. That was a result of the depression that happened, right?
Yes, we had a panic in 1893. The unemployment rate reached 18%, which had never happened before in American history and would not happen again until the Great Depression. And so, yes, Pullman laid people off, and of course, the strike came, and then the issue came of having to have the mail delivered, and so
right.
Federal troops became involved when President Cleveland sent them in.
Well, and there was a big confrontation, and a couple of people died. A bunch of people got put in jail. There was a lot of property damage, and then there was another. Wasn't there another riot in New York associated with this somewhere? Wasn't there something else?
Well, now that they had, you maybe thinking they had some draft riots during the Civil War. There may have been a
no,
riot.
No. But there seemed like there was another. But anyway, the point I think here is that because it was an election year.
Yes.
The politicians got all excited because they had kind of a black eye over how they overreacted to the Pullman strike thing.
Right. That's where, and of course, that's where New York's going to come in here,
right.
in a big way, because the parades is going to be in New York, right, Jim? And so you're right. You don't want to lose the votes of
right.
people who might be upset over this.
Right.
These strikes. So yes, we're going to have a Labor Day is going to evolve from that.
And apparently, from what I've read, Bert, you correct me if I'm wrong, in about 6 days, they went from inception to passage of Labor Day being a federal holiday in the first Monday in September.
Right, right.
So my point, the reason I wanted to land on that a little bit, Bert, was when we look back on one of the most recent examples, Sarbanes-Oxley was passed about 4 years ago.
Yes.
As a reaction, a knee-jerk reaction to Enron and Web and WorldCom, et cetera, et cetera. Even though all of those guys are in jail now on laws under laws that were already in place, we now have Sarbanes-Oxley, which is hurting this country. And my point is that politicians do things. The ability to do knee-jerk reactions has a precedent, all the way back into the 19th century.
That's an interesting parallel, because the justice system often moves slowly because people have rights. They have constitutional rights. And so it takes a while to have the justice system sort out the guilty and the innocent.
But they can move plenty fast when they think it's going to hurt their votes.
If the politicians think the votes might be at stake, then they rush in for legislation.
That's exactly right. Stand by, Bert. Quick break, folks. 22. We'll be right back. A little bit of the Stones bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, coming right back quickly because I don't want to miss a minute we don't have to with our good friend Bert Folsom, Dr. Bert Folsom, a longtime member of our Brain Trust with Hillsdale College. By the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. Bert, the one of the things that, a lot's been said about Labor Day. And the origins, I talked about it earlier in the hour. You've talked to us about it many times, but I just really think it's that one of the things in this election year, Bert, I think all of the electorate needs to think about how politicians sometimes do things for that they can't move very fast on important things that would solve a lot of problems, and they can't lay down their partisanship and pass some law that would be beneficial for everybody. But by golly, let something happen that would possibly impact their getting reelected, and they can move fast, can't they?
Yes, they can, and they can spend even more quickly.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. Labor Day was passed in 6 days. Sarbanes-Oxley was passed in 90 days.
Yeah. Interesting.
And now let me give you an example. Now I'm not going to say that this is all because of Sarbanes-Oxley, but ladies and gentlemen, Sarbanes-Oxley, and this isn't again, the point I'm making here is how governments moving quickly in their own self-interest can actually hurt things, because the politicians aren't that smart, especially when they deliberate it. When they don't deliberate things, they're really not smart. Anyway. When they passed Sarbanes-Oxley, that made it harder and harder for companies to go public, Bert, as you know.
Okay, yes.
Somebody told me the other day that in the first 9 months, now I got this from an authority, and so this isn't my number, it's his number, but I was told that in the first 9 months on Wall Street, there were no initial stock offers, no ISOs
of any kind. Really, because of the restrictions of Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
And I talked to and of course what that means, folks, is that was small companies going public. And I talked to a guy that I know who went public in '96, and now his company's got over $1 billion in capitalization. And I said, Paul, if you were going public today, what would you do? If you needed to go public to raise capital today, what would you do? He said, I wouldn't be able to do it. Sarbanes-Oxley would prevent me from doing it. It wouldn't be feasible for me to do today what I did in '96.
That's absolutely fascinating, especially as you suggest, when you consider that the very laws that ended up putting the Enron folks and the WorldCom in jail are still there. And so they
were
effective.
And they're in jail based on laws that were already in place before Sarbanes-Oxley.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they were there swiftly. I mean, we put them in jail quickly.
Right.
Sarbanes-Oxley was not necessary. But the politicians felt that they needed to do something to show that they were doing something. And to the average person who doesn't pay attention to these things, they probably think it's a good thing. But you know what? Those average people, some of those people might not have as good a job right now as they could have had if Sarbanes-Oxley had never been done. Capital is a coward,
right.
Bert. And that money those initial offerings are now being done in London instead of New York.
You almost need to think of that as being a tax. It's equivalent to a tax. It's regulatory red tape, but to think of it as a tax, it's like an additional tax on business would, of course, stifle many companies to insert additional taxes, and that's in effect what's happened here.
Well, that's exactly right, and so anyway, that's my soapbox for the day, Bert. Give us some more of your thoughts about Labor Day.
Sure. Well, Labor Day, one thing that I like that you have done is shifted the emphasis from Labor Day to Entrepreneur Day, at least with your discussion on the subject.
Yep.
Because without the entrepreneurs or the small businessmen, you wouldn't have laborers who had a chance to really get good work. And so the idea that we would have a day for small businessmen, for investors, for entrepreneurs, and I like the way you put it on a Sunday too, because if you put it during the week, that's their time that they're thinking about business.
I haven't helped anybody. I haven't helped any small business owner if we take off during a regular work day for most people, and it just increases their payroll.
Right.
I mean, the workers, the employees, my employees already have a day off. I don't have a day off.
Right. And so that is an interesting dimension of it. I like the way that would go. And your selection of August is good because the politicians are back home.
They're already there. And so here's my question. I wonder how many of them would actually show up at a small business celebration.
I think there might be quite a few. It's interesting to think that I wonder if Willis Carrier, who helped really invent and perfect air conditioning, would have not brought out the Carrier Air Conditioning Company as an IPO if he had had Sarbanes-Oxley, and then they wouldn't have the air conditioning to be able to get out of have an incentive to get out of Washington at all.
Exactly. Exactly. good point. Very good point. Bert, you know, another thing that you've taught us over the years, another issue that was that people think was created because politicians loved us so much, but the truth is we now know it was really just a political issue, is the minimum wage.
Yes, that too, and that came in the 1930s, and right in the Great Depression, and helped the Great Depression persist. 6 years after Roosevelt came in office, we had 20% unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
20%. And minimum wage was contributing to that by 1938-39.
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, we're going to get Bert to tell us the rest of this story. It's fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. And you thought it was because the government just wanted to do something nice for us, didn't you? That's not the case. And you'll learn that on the other side of these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying around with me. Dr. Bert Folsom is our guest. He is the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders. These books are still available. They're still relevant. They're wonderful books. I encourage you to check them out. Bert, I know you're still selling these all over the world, and they're available at Amazon, right?
Thank you, yes. Myth of the Robber Barons is in its fifth edition.
Wow. Wow.
And so, right, I'm glad about that, and New Deal or Raw Deal will be out in November, and that's where we discuss the minimum wage.
That's right. We're going to hear more about that. That's coming up in November. But we were talking about the minimum wage, and you know, I think some people get the idea that minimum wage is this was part of the original Constitution. You know
right.
what I mean? That we have a divine right to have a minimum wage. Some people call it they want to create a living wage. See, what I think, Bert, is if we can legislate a minimum wage, why don't we legislate a minimum profit for business? Huh? That's a genius idea. I think I have.
It is, because people, one of the reasons that's funny is because people assume that profits are there.
Yeah.
And once you assume profits are there and that they're automatic, then minimum wage naturally makes a little bit of sense, because if the profits are already there, why, these workers might
of
as well
course.
Get a big piece of the pie. But as you well know, those profits are not guaranteed.
That's right.
Thomas Sowell, who is probably my favorite economist, had a, told a story about when he was a teenager, and he said he worked for minimum wage when minimum wage was really low. It was under a dollar an hour. It was more like 50, 40 cents or 50 cents. And he said that he was not a very good employee because he didn't know a lot of what to do, and he broke some bottles in a store he was working and all of this. And he said his boss would yell at him but never fired him, and he said he realized later he didn't get fired because he was paid so little. But when minimum wage was then raised, it makes it so bosses are reluctant to hire people and test them out and give them a chance to start up the economic ladder.
That's exactly right. But now, the truth is, though, Bert, we got to get some history out of you here.
Okay.
Minimum wage wasn't started because somebody said, oh, please, let's take care of all of our workers across America. Minimum wage, as you've taught us before, was created because Southern people, Southern workers were competing and beating Northern workers who were unionized for textile jobs.
You're exactly right. The folks in Massachusetts were very instrumental in putting in minimum wage to force the Southerners, textile operators in Georgia and the Carolinas, to have to charge higher wages so that the Southerners would not be as competitive as New England.
Even though New England got jobs in 200 years before because they worked cheaper than the English worked.
Exactly. Exactly. And then they had the Southerners had put in the textile mills and were very competitive in the 1920s and 30s, and jobs were headed southward, and Massachusetts did everything they could, Senator Henry Cabot Lodge and others, to try to stop that. Congressman Martin was the minority leader in the House from Massachusetts, and they did everything they could to try to stop those jobs going south by forcing the Southerners to charge more. There you have something that can perhaps protect their industry.
Well, minimum wage is nothing more than price controls by government.
Yes.
That's all it is.
It is, and for those who survive, that is, if you get your wage and you're not fired, that's you can benefit. There are obviously some people who can benefit from this, but it often forces employers to lay people off, and it does affect then the prices that consumers, of course, have to pay for the product as well.
Well, it is inflationary, and also it hurts the teenagers, the young people coming up who want to get a job, because if you can't if you have to pay somebody $7 an hour and they don't know how to pick something up without breaking it, that's not a good deal for the employer.
That's the point I thought that Thomas Sowell made that was excellent. Or that you get jobs that don't get done. I mean, if you have to pay somebody $7 an hour to rake leaves, maybe you just leave the leaves in your yard.
Exactly. Or, you know what else happens? Technology. People, at some point in time, and this is what's happening, because it's not just the minimum wage folks that get raised, folks. It's everybody. All wages are impacted when minimum wage goes up. And so eventually, guys like me, if I don't want to pay, the higher payroll, I'll just buy a machine.
Right. The incentive to mechanize is there, and then people get laid off as well.
That's exactly right, because I've got to stay in business. I've got to make a payroll, or nobody gets paid. Hey,
right.
Bert, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. Happy Labor Day.
Thanks.
We'll see you next time.
Here.
Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bert Folsom, the author of Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders. By the way, you want to go to hillsdalecollege.edu. And check that out. It's a very unique, very special place. They take no government funds at all. How about that? I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and employees, too. Happy Labor Day, everybody.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.